Blog Talk Radio.
Consuming, eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10-7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Sabali. Patience. Yeah.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to another edition of PGRNA Radio Show. I am your host for the night, Akin Bekele. Minister of the Interior for the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. Thank you again for tuning in to one of our shows. Our show tonight, this is January 15th, and we will get started shortly. So for tonight, we are having a special guest. Because we were just in the season of Kwanzaa, we thought that we would take this show to expound upon the founding principles of Kwanzaa, namely the Nguzu Saba. So our topic for tonight is the Nguzu Saba and how it relates to the New African Independence Movement. And the person that we have brought on tonight is no other than our own Minister of Information for the PGRNA, Minister Beaumont Shakur.
Free Lamb, brother. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you? First,
I'm strong, safe, and sane, man. I'd like to say, like to commend you for the work you did in the past, and the first commend what you can do, right? It's always a pleasure to share information and to propagate information that benefits to the people currently present and also within their own community and environment, their own family, they can utilize every day, right? So I'm ready to get into this, right? You know, I'm ready to get into this. I'm ready to answer a few of these questions you got for me.
I appreciate that. And then again, for those who may have just started tuning in, my show tonight will be the Nguzu Saba and how it relates to the New African Independence Movement. Minister Beaumont, if you would, can you just give us a brief history and background about yourself as it relates to the vision of government of the Republic of New Orleans?
Okay. Well, first off, I became a country citizen in 2002. I became active in the government in 2011. Upon the Minister of Youth. I became the Minister of Information, Deputy Minister of Youth. I became Minister of Information in 2015. I've been holding that position on and off in 2015. I also have been involved with the New African Nation Day Planning Committee. I'm actually the chairman of the New African Nation Day Planning Committee right now. The New African Nation Day Committee, New African Nation Day is going to take place this year, March 28th, March 31st, in downtown Clarktown. Dr. John Clark Town is Columbia, Georgia, the place where Dr. John Clark is buried and also went to school at. I also wanted to host a regional public African radio show. I'm a New African revolutionary nationalist. I'm a New African propagandist. I also host the show Jordan University as well. I'm also involved locally here in our cadre called Dr. John Clark District Council. And we name our public, Dr. John Clark Town, after Dr. Jeremy Clark. You know, I'm an overall advocate for New Haven political prisoners. I'm an override educator and agitator. And a New African freedom fighter. That's your basic, me in a nutshell.
All right. All right. We appreciate that, brief bio, brother. We appreciate that. And we appreciate all the work that you've done in the past, present, and future. And I look forward to being able to do work with you in the future to help accomplish the goals that we have set forward by the PGRNA. So to get in it, so for the topic for tonight, the Nguzu Saba and how it relates to the New African Independence Movement. Would you please tell us what exactly is Nguzu Saba so we can have a frame of reference for what that word means?
Okay. Nguzu Saba is basically a Swahili word for seven principles. It also means in terms of the black principles. And these principles have been going on for thousands of years, right? Some of these principles such as Ujamaa, which is Swahili for unity, Kuchasliya, which is Swahili for self-determination, Ujima, which is Swahili for collective responsibility, Ujamaa, which was breaking down across economic, also means brotherhood, Nia would mean purpose, Kuma would mean creativity, Imani mean faith, right? And these are principles that we're exemplifying every day. A lot of times, when we think about these principles, we assert them to be in Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa was a creation that was created here in America, right? It wasn't created in Africa. And therefore, from the New African perspective, it's a New African holiday. It's a New African invention created here. And the person that was given credit for creating it is Malan Karinga. And Malan Karinga also one of the founders of Green Gulf Africa. He also one of the co-ministers of culture, along with Amir Baraki and King Sergio Adefume, who brought over here EFI. You know, and this commemoration has been taking place since 65. In 65 and 66, this thing has been taking place. No principles have been developed from 65, 66, 67, 68. Different principles have been developed by different people, such as the mother of Kwanzaa, who traveled all the way to Africa and other places to get the information. And also, you know, these principles in general are principles that we exemplify every day. The Freedom of Africa was established because we want self-determination. You know, some of the things we talk about is collective work in the Freedom of Africa, which is Ujamaa. Determination, who's like Aaliyah. We also talk about unified the New African people, which is a Moses. We talk about cooperative economics, the New African Ujamaa, other aspects. So a lot of these things a lot of these principles that we're looking at and talking about, we exemplify doing our work, not just in the New African independent movement, but the Black Earth Movement, Pan-African movement in general. You know, we talk about a lot of these things, right? So then there's a brief basis of Kwanzaa is commemorated from December 26th through January 1st, you know. Right after Christmas, and it goes into the following year, you know. Whereas in Dr. John Clark time, we commemorate Dr. John Clark Day, January the 1st, on the last day of Kwanzaa, which is Imani. And last year we did on December the 30th, which was a Saturday. For the first time, and we're going to do commemorate his birthday, Dr. John Clark Day. Where January 1st also represents Haitian, the day the Haiti gained independence in 1804, which was the symbolic to us. And New Africans struggle for independence. And that's an example for us, showing that we can win, we can be triumphant, and we establish a nation. And I yield.
All right, Minister. Appreciate that. That definitely does give us a good understanding, could come from a good perspective about what the Nguzu Saba is.
Appreciate that.
In your response, you mentioned that one of the principles of the Nguzu Saba was self-determination. Can you give me some examples of self-determination and the provision of government in the New African Independence Movement and in the New African Nationalist Movement as well?
Okay, well, one example of self-determination is it occurred in March 29th, 1969, Detroit, Michigan, right? It was an event that occurred known as Black Nation Day. And Black Nation Day was created to commemorate and well as celebrate the founding of the Republic of Africa that took place on the weekend of December 30th, 1968, right? And during this Black Nation Day, there were various bodies there from different formation that were considered to be defensive formations or a radical formations or a military formation, right? Such as the Afro Set National Party, the Black National Republic of Libya, the Black League Republic of Africa, the Black Panther Party. You know, there were different consoles at that time for the British Prison for Africa come from different places, you know, which when people, some people want to turn to citizen militia. They were units, so to speak, different units and other aspects around. So during this Black Nation Day, the government was attacking at that time, right? So all the comrades, especially a lot of the Black Legionnaires like Dr. Matus and other individuals, they actually defended our nation. And the results of that, defending our nation through gunfire, through armed struggle, through expressing our determination, we fought off the pigs, the oppressors, so to speak. A pig was murdered, a couple people were injured, and all that happened up, our brothers were taken to jail and then they released. So that shows an ad for self-determination. Self-determination relates to a lot of self-educating yourself. It relates to a lot of self-defense. It relates to a lot of self-respect by yourself. You know, we wasn't going to let anybody do any harm there when we peacefully celebrate, commemorate, founding our nation. And we also were having plans of building and organizing. So there was one act of self-determination. Another act of self-determination occurred on August 18, 1971, in Mega Everville, known as Jackson, Mississippi. And during this time, it was attacked in two different houses, you know. Both of them were considered headquarters. You know, the most famous one is 1153 Lewis Street. And it also was a book wrote about this on 1148 Lewis Street by Mama Tamu Kaoyama, who was a member of the insurrection known as RNA 11. And during the insurrection RNA 11, it was federal agents there, state agents, other people there that attacked the people that were there that were having this, that attacked the Republic of Africa. It resulted in gunfire. The comrades shooting back. And again, last 69, it results in various people from the state being injured and various people from the government being murdered. And what happened to our people was they locked us up, and a lot of them got over 10 years or more, but they released. And again, it resulted in casualties of the oppressor as we defended ourselves again, violently, we defended ourselves, the expression of a form of self-determination. You know, and earlier that year, during the March 1971, Malik, Mississippi, which is our capital at that time, our first capital, we had secured some land that we thought. So we had a land celebration. And that land celebration was an act of determination of us fulfilling our duty and roles of sustaining land to build our nation, how we want to be independent. So that was another act of self-determination. Three self-act of self-determination right there. A coup de chacalier, you know. A year.
All right. Thank you. That last word you mentioned, what was that word? Coup de chacalier, what did that mean?
Coup de chacalier means self-determination. It's a Swahili word. Coup de chacalier means self-determination.
Oh, okay.
And one of the principles of the Sava.
Right. Okay. I appreciate
that. Kwanzaa is a Swahili word, too, as well. It means first fruits. And all the principles in Swahili words as well, because we want to have an African culture. And like I said earlier, Kwanzaa is a new African invention. It was created in America, you know, so it wasn't created in Africa. So it's a new African invention from a new African perspective, you know. And it also has been something that has been talked about and spoken about since the beginning of the period of Africa, you know. It also has been in various documents that you might see Kwanzaa. You might see coincide with the Kwanzaa, new African oath, and other aspects that have been passed on as that through propagation for very years, for very people, especially people that have held a position of minister of culture, minister of education, and other perspectives, other seats as well as that, you know. But and Swahili has been considered for a long time to be a language of the new African nation, as well as language of the revolution and resistance, people that are part of revolution and resistance throughout the whole aspect of things, throughout the Black Liberation Movement as well, especially in the prison movement. You know, so they've been known and looked upon as a new African language, Kwanzaa. I mean, Swahili.
All right. Appreciate you shedding some light on that. When you gave us the information about the Nguzu Saba earlier, you mentioned one of the principles had to do with cooperative economics. Can you please give us an example of cooperative economics and how it relates across the formation?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you an example here locally, right? Locally, we got an example of that. In our district called Dr. John Clarkson, which is a certified New African Population District of the Republic of Africa, Virginia Republic of Africa, we have a community center called the Embassy. The Embassy is an aspect of cooperative. Remember this idea that we foretold about 2016 when we were functioning up on the aspect of the people's independence at the time that we were referring to ourselves as. And we wanted to raise, our idea was to raise $1,000 so we can get a community center, you know, because we know a community center can be an asset to our community in regard to economics. As a venue, also an asset to educate and organize people, and also an aspect of the headquarters, a local general location to do certain things there, right? So throughout the years, from that standpoint, I probably say about 3 years ago, we actually stained our first building, which was a house we had at the headquarters. And everybody in our college room were contributing to it, you know, to keep it functioning, things of that nature, right? That was added crop economics. So various things occurred, you know what I'm saying? The house got transferred over to another comrade. So eventually we came across this building, this church, so to speak. So we purchased the church as an organization, and everybody in the organization had been contributed to economically, financially, mentally, you know, physical work, so forth and so on, right? So the financial institution that we have right now, through cooperative economics, through Ujamaa, the other aspects, right, we have been able to sponsor New African Nation Day this year. It's going to take place March 1st, March 31st. That's an example of cooperative economics right there. Another example of that is the Nation House at Mega Everville, you know, which was purchased. It was being rent owned at the time from the jump, and various comrades and various government officials were contributing to it until it eventually got paid off. And now it's officially owned, you know what I'm saying, by the New African Nation. So that's another example as well of cooperative economics. And one way I almost want to mention, you know, the document that was created in December 1970, by that time, the Minister of Economic Development, known as Yusufu Tumbayatu. And then he actually was the brother that actually went to Africa to study the feat of Jun Nairi, who created African Socialist, African Ujamaa, other individuals, and he brought them back to the empire, to America over here, and established a new African Ujamaa up in the very public Africa. And that's an old documentation. You know, so those are just examples of cooperative economics. A co-op, so to speak, you know, working together collectively, economically, to create business, opportunity, you know, and resource for the people, known as Ujamaa. I hope that answers your question there, bro.
Yeah, that does answer my question. Appreciate it. Once again, for the information about the principle, as well as its Swahili representation for it. Appreciate it. So with these principles of the Nguzu Saba, How do they relate to one who is a conscious new African citizen?
Well, how it relates to one of the conscious African citizens, these principles are just reminders. These principles are just reminders of actions, types of conduct, types of goals, and achievement one was accomplished, right? Every day, we must be studying the code of motion, which is our constitution. The code of motion, which is our code of units, you know, which appeared in 1970 as well. You know, every day we must be studying the aspects of unification. You know, every day we must understand that unity is needed and inherent for us to establish a new African nation. Every day we must know that we're struggling for independence, which is an act of self-determination. Everyone knows how our purpose is to be new country, we have to be independent. Every day we must express that which is our need. Every day we must express our creativity, which is our intelligence, our skill set, and what we may have to establish this, which is a Kumba. Every day we must understand when we read the New African Creed, it says, I believe in the spirituality and genes of humanity, African people, right, of our people, so to speak. You know, when you think about that aspect of things, that is Iman. It's showing faith, not only who you are, faith in our ancestors and creativity, but also faith in the work that has been established in the faith that we're doing, right? You know, so, and also we've been thinking about in order to get everything, we may practice Ujima, which is collective responsibility. We know it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to put this in reality. Once the individual takes a state of new African oath, he or she has taken a blood oath with them for dishonesty in regards to make things happen. It's a pact, an agreement that one's made to make things a reality, and also it's for life, you know. So these principles are something that are expressed every day in regards to our daily activities. It should be expressed every day in our daily activities because those are things that we strive for. We strive for unity. Describe for certain time, describe for collective work, describe for cooperation, describe for purpose, describe for creativity, describe for faith, right? So these principles can be identified every day. If anybody knows or not, these principles are being scribed for and worked on every day, right? There are people doing work everywhere, which is causing. All throughout New African independent movement, from the national territory, from the foreign territory, people are doing different things. And they create institutions, they create programs. If they're doing physical training, they're doing economic training. If people are learning about computers, if people are going to get degrees, whatever it may be, right? They're writing political prisoners, they're visiting prisoners, they develop a transportation system, whatever it may be, right? People are doing the work. And the work they're doing is exemplified by these principles that we're talking about, known as Good Style, which is an everyday life standpoint of the new African Revolution. That's something we do every day. You know, then we every day we express in one new process. And our whole work in friend and land is about new process. In a nutshell. You know. This is how I look at it and how I feel about it, bro. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. We appreciate your perspective. Another question I wanted to ask, you mentioned about Dr. Mulana Karinga being the one who exceptionalized and brought forth the Ngozi Msawa. So I wanted to also ask you, is there any relationship or connection between Dr. Karinga and the PGRNA?
Well, you know, the connection was that the brother, he was at the founding convention. He was at the founding convention in 1968. He wanted the individuals that signed Declaration of Independence as a sign. He also, to make him one of the co-founders, he also served in the original cabinet as one of the co-ministers of culture, along with Baba Mir Baraki and Baba Asurjima Adefumi, King Asurjima Adefumi, who one of the ones who the one responsible for bringing e-files up, you know, so. He was there, all three of them were there at the origin of the Freedom Movement of Africa as co-founders as well. So that's the relationship we have. And also, upon Marvin Gelly returning to essence, Malayan Karinga wrote a letter in regard to celebrate him, celebrate him as well, upon Dr. Marvin Dellick's demise. He wrote a letter celebrating his life. You know, the contribution, you know, literary contribution to him as well. So that basically his relationship, you know. Even though, you know, he didn't stay long, he left the original cabinet, but he wasn't co-founders, you know. Some very circumstantial thing was taking place throughout his own history. But he won the founders. And also, he functioned in the original cabinet, won the co-minister of culture.
All right. Thank you for that. Do you consider Kwanzaa to be a revolutionary holiday? And if so, what?
Yes, it is a revolutionary time period, right? Due to the fact that it did revolutionary principles. And who's the Saba of revolutionary principles that must be identified every day, that must be practiced every day, that must be carried out every day, right? And it not only revolutionary physically, but it changed a particular mindset. A person that doesn't know anything about Kwanzaa, right, once they start partaking in it, it'll get them a love for African culture. It'll get them a love for African names. It'll take them to a place and time in history where when the Black Power movement were very prominent, when the Black race movement were very prominent, and also the time when you independent movement came into existence. It'll take you to a time period once you start studying and looking at the ideas and concepts, right? And also it's very transformative, you know, a revolution began in the mind. Once you transform your mind state, you transform your condition. And one of the ways we do that is a lot of adopt the African name, adopt something a name to reborn ourselves, to rename us, to become a new man, a new woman. And in doing so, once we accept that particular name, adopt a particular name, or give that particular name, we start developing a new type of mind state. We start living a new type of culture, a new type of lifestyle. And that a revolutionary with itself can mean change. You know, everything is a change standpoint. So with the utilization and understanding of these principles and different ideas and concepts, you can make that transformation in general, right? You know, because our set of termination has been expressed, you can take it to 1525 in South Carolina, you know, we took over the community, you take it to 1619 when we first came over here on these slaves and trying to tackle the new African nation. But all from 1525 all the way to now, they have been very active positions. Some want to turn it being slave rebellion, some want to turn it into slave revolts. So I want to turn them into being in position within itself. Like that's exactly what they are, you know. So that's my little take on some. That's my little take on these concepts and ideas, like in regards to what they mean, and how they're going down, and why is everything revolutionary, right? Another note, you know, say everything revolutionary is not about just armed struggle. Armed struggle is just a part of the revolution. It's just a part of it, and that's why the flag, the rig in our flag, is smaller. Okay, represents small bloodshed, you know, small bloodshed. Green at the top of land and based on independence, that you know, we want land to become independent, to become recognized as a nation of people. Okay, brother.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Appreciate that. So you mentioned about things being revolutionary. So can you expound on what a new African revolutionary nationalism is? Or not what is that, but
okay.
What is New African Revolutionary Nationalism?
Okay. Well, from the jump, right, when the Freedom Republic of Africa was established, right, it was realized that it was a revolutionary formation, right? That's why it was needed that we have a military Black Legion, right, which is a military apparatus, right? And our thing was that we a lot of identified being nationalists already won the nation, right? But revolutionary nationalism, in order to get the nation, we must engage the Revolutionary Act. Now, we were identified being new African people, right? From a political standpoint, a national identity, historical aspect, began to who we are. A new revolutionary nationalist is a revolutionary nationalist that have a new African identity and accepts a new African ideology, new African culture. And the base of a new revolutionary nationalist is, and it's also, when you look at things historically, right, it can be considered the apex of revolutionary nationalism, because it had been times of Black nationalism, cultural nationalism, black revolution, that things of that nature, right? But once the African independent movement came into existence, we developed, we transformed to that new African nation, fighting for the things, fighting for the new African nation, the new African nation, right? So everything we do, it could be socially, it could be politically, it could be economically, it could be militarily, you know, it could be culturally, we identify as being new African. One way or the other, we identify as being new African. It could be in no principles, right? Like I said, if it be fine culture, we identify new African. Militarily, we identify new African. Politically, economically, educational-wise, we identify new African and national because they're who we are. And we understand that we got to fight and struggle to get the new African nation that we're talking about. And it's going to take a lot of work. Like the old saying, to raise your hand, free the land. That entails everything, a set of determination, be it be on struggle, be it doing physical work to build certain things, construct artifacts, building, construction work, be it be digging ditches or whatever to establish a water line, be it be laying solar power panels, whatever it may be, right? Be it be educating people in the school, be it be going out in the woods, learning how to survive in the wilderness, be it be learning how to utilize certain plants and herbs to fight our defensive things within our own body. Be able to establish a hospital, whether we're establishing a school, like have a learner's center, or have a school program, a study program, whatever it may be, right? Those are all acts of self-determination that exemplify being a new era of shared nationalists in general. Now, everything I'm saying, just things in a nutshell, so to speak. Just a small glimpse of what new era of shared nationalism is. And new era of shared nationalism is an expression of that, which is the acts of a new era of shared nationalism. Things he or she does to build a new African nation, which are all revolutionary acts of change. So we always say, to build a better people in a better world, and that's revolutionary within itself. And we identify being new Africans, but new revolutionary nations, with it, and in general, in a sense, of who we are. This is our identity, nationally. And we want the international world to accept us to be a new African people.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. At this time, I got one more question. And then currently we have any callers on the line that would like to ask a question of, I guess, as it regards to our topic for the night, which is the Nguzu Saba and how it relates to the new African independence movement. Please press 1 on your phone at this time. If you have any questions related to our topic for tonight, press 1 on your phone at this time. My last question before we get into callers for you, brother. Is there a relationship between the holiday of Kwanzaa and what we know as Black August?
Well, in regards to that sense, right, Black August is something that can remember. Black August exists from August 1st, August 31st, right, every year. That Black August, you know. But Black August resistance is expressed from July the 1st to September the 1st, right? And all the acts would exemplify from Ujamaa, Kutakalia, let work, responsibility, proper economic, purpose, creativity, and faith. All them principles are exemplified during Black August, right? Especially in regard to proper economic. During Black August, we do not shop with the oppressor. We deal with proper economic. We deal with programs regarding building our economic system up. We circulate new African dollars. During that time, we show self-determination by engaging in defense, self-defense, martial arts, training, things of that nature. During that time, we expect unity by working out together, eating together, so forth and so on. During that time, we understand our purpose here to resist. We show our creativity during that time by having a Black August journal, by actually speaking and writing, learning, educating things, anything that is educational. You know, we understand that our resistance here, resistance is our culture, resistance is our religion, you know what I'm saying, so it relates to our particular faith, so to speak, you know, and we also do things collectively, again, that shows our collective working responsibility. But Black August is a universal time period, you know, and a lot of times in conjunction with that, Kwanzaa has been watered down a lot of senses of things. People just feel like, you know, just you got to commemorate that time in particular with African Joe so far during the Kwanzaa season, so they call it the Kwanzaa season. Well, Black August is practiced year-round, you know. There's a significant difference in regards to Black August being practiced and exemplified year-round. You know, people are practicing Black August right now. You know, even though the month of Black August hasn't come to this, but people are practicing right now through the ways of action for the things they're doing in particular, right? So that's just my little small answer about that.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that. All right, at this time, if we have any callers on the line that would like to ask a question as it pertains to our topic for tonight for our guest, please press the number one. And Brother Bomani, if you would for me, if you can identify those callers and then allow them to ask their question.
Okay. 901-292, your line is open. Yeah, question, comment, and call.
Free the land. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Thank you. Fine. I thought that this is very, very interesting and very timely to talk about the New African Independence Movement and the Nguza Saba. So I have a couple of questions, actually. So when you, I heard what you just said about Black August being, celebrated all year long. Well, those of us that have been perpetuating Kwanzaa, we say the same thing. We say 365 Kwanzaa. So we know that on Monday, all that we can to practice Umoja. On Tuesday, Kujishakalia. Wednesday, Ujima. Thursday, Ujamaa. Fridays, Nia. Saturday, Kulumba. And, of course, Sunday, Imani. So we do say 365, and we say that when we gather, that's the culmination of a year-long attempt to embed ourselves in these principles. You understand what I'm saying, comrades?
Do indeed.
Of course. So my question is, not only do we want to talk about the New African Independence Movement, but how the Nguzo Saba is really closely aligned with the New African Creed, our preamble, our Declaration of Independence, and definitely the Code of Umoja. Do you want to address those things for me?
Okay. Like for instance, I said earlier, you know, before you came on the call, you know, the code of Umoja is our code of unity, right? And the code of Umoja is our constitution, right? And we know the only way to make that constitution a reality is we must unify. We must unify ourselves as New African people. And also, you know, while the struggling for land and independence, that's an act of self-determination. You know, as I said earlier, I talked about the attack on New Bethel, the RNA 11, and also the land celebration of being acts and examples that exemplify self-determination, right? And also we have what you want to term as a new African cabinet, you know, administration. And everybody administration, the different ministers, the president, the vice president, the PTC, things of that nature, we all work together and show collective work responsibility. And we also have a document called New African Ujamaa that expresses New African economics. Proper economics. You know what I'm saying? We also know that we must bring all our talented skills, resources, and our mortal life to things, which is exemplified in our New African Creed and with our New African Oath, which is based on our creativity. And we also know our purpose is to be new African revolution nationalists, be tightly African citizens, to free the land. And our faith is exemplified in the New African Creed, and say, I believe in spirituality, man, and genius of Black people. A new pursuit of these values. That exemplifies our faith as New African people, right? So everything within the New African Creed, the New African Oath, the Code of Moja, and whether you ask Ujamaa, exemplifies these seven principles known as Nguzo Saba, that should be practiced every day, and every day, regardless of new African lifestyle. Yeah. A lot of times we don't realize everything that we're practicing, even doing, because we just do it. As people, some things are just responsive to our condition, or some things are done because it's inherent within our mind. Like being in a natural territory, a lot of people right now talk about owning land. Without any kind of inclination that they're involved in any kind of political or revolutionary or any kind of formation in general. They're regularly asking people that consider to be unconscious, so to speak, they want to own land. You know, they want to own something. That's an act of self-determination within yourself by owning stuff, you know, by being the sole controlling and creating a destiny of your reality. That's an act of self-determination on an unconscious level that you're really conscious, you know. And I hope that answers your question, Mama Ayo.
That's good. Thank you. I'm sorry I missed the beginning part. That's very, 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 very totally in agreement. Totally in agreement. Thank you so much. So my next question would be, if we talk about the Nguza Saba and new Africans who identify themselves as new Africans and those that are a part of the new African independence movement, how does the role of taxes align itself to the Nguza Saba and the new African nation?
You said how the role of what?
Self new Africans, and we are in agreement with the whole issue of in order to quote a nation state, we have to have an identified government, and the PGRNA is the government right now. How does that align with the Nguza Saba and the new African independence movement?
Okay. For one thing, it touches on NIA, which is purpose, right? You know, we're paying the taxes for the purpose of founding our nation, right? And upon paying those taxes, we practicing proper economics, because we're engaging into an economic standpoint collectively as a nation of people. You know, and it also relates to our collective work and responsibility as new country average citizens. So our duty and responsibility is to pay taxes to our nation that we actually believe in, that we have faith in, and that we actually want to build on, right? And also by the citizens that gave it to us, showing a form of unity. Because if numerous citizens pay taxes, they express the unification and we express the unity, right? So all those things are needed in regards to what we are building if you actually believe in something. You know, you actually believe whatever you believe in. You gotta put work to make it happen. Things that will happen just on rhetoric alone, on politics alone, a policy. You know, you gotta make things happen by ways of action. So again, what the slogan said: raise your hand, free the land. That means put the work in. Whatever your skill set is, like Dr. John Clark said, whatever you do best, do it for the people. You know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, comrade. Yes, I'm a total agreement. And my last question, because, you know, this is a really, really, really great conversation, because, you know, it holds us accountable. If those of us that have been celebrating and understanding that Kwanzaa is now being in it, it just passed its 57 years, the nation is getting ready to be 59 years as soon as Malcolm's birthday comes. So, We're really looking forward to more and more new Africans, you know, being participatory in their government, that self-determination. So my final question is, where does reparations fit into all of this? The Nguza Saba, the new African independence movement, where is that really controversial topic? Because we have a lot of different groups and nations. Nation of Islam calling for reparations, the Lost Found Nation of Islam calling for reparations. The Republic of New Africa has had their Reparations Act 1987 presented to Congress, and there are others that are getting on board. But what does that look like for New Africa, African people, and how does it relate to the Nguza Saba? I yield.
Okay, well, In regards to our reparation claim that we've been talking about to the beginning of our government, March 3rd, 1968, right? Our reparation claim is not just economics, right? It's not just money, right? Our reparation claim is the release of all our captured political prisoners, captured citizens, and belongs to the African nation, and also the aspect of us being receiving land. You know, when you look at those things, look at all those activities, those are a top responsibility for self-determination. Those are top examples of self-determination. And we know and not all these things are needed for us to establish our nation, but they are owed to us due to the fact that we've been struggling and fighting over here. And some want to say 1619, y'all, you say 1525. 1619 is when the European, the English slave trade got involved when we came over to Virginia. Where 1525 was when we were involved in the Spanish trade. So they don't really want to acknowledge. Some people don't want, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that due to the fact that the American government was established on the English aspect, not about the Spanish aspect. But you find when they Britain and English are actually the same people. So when you look at 1619 on up to now, right, we actually started building the nation up. You know, 1619, when we came over here, as human slaves, as human, as property, so to speak, they want to turn away indentured servants, indentured servants, even though we're slaves, and they're out to the point of indentured servants from 1619 to 1659 for 40 years, and they did that aspect because they were white slaves. They were white slaves also at that time. That's why they did indentured servants the aspect. But in 1660, they basically passed the aspect of Negro slavery, African slavery. They actually put, made slavery a real institution. You know, a real institution, so to speak, right? So during that time period, from 1619 all the way to 1865, we were responsible for building the national territory we call New Africa, South Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. Well, we were responsible for building everything. We built all these buildings. From our slave labor, we came a bigger economic system. We kind of the biggest human capital system known to exist on the planet Earth, right? You know, known to exist on the planet Earth, and that's why the Civil War was created, because of the economic standpoint. People in North, they had the economic power like their political power because they didn't own slaves like this. So throughout this time, resistance that we all experienced from the very slave rebellion from 1739 Stone Rebellion, you know, 1800 on Denmark Beach, 1811 Charles Lones, you know, the Native American and New African Wars and Dismal Swamp in South Carolina and Florida, so forth and so on. Very rebellion that took place all around the empire. You know, the acts of determination warranted us to receive reparations due to the fact that we were forcibly brought to an institution, which is slavery, against our own will. And also that as a way to try to give back to us what we gained, because a lot of us are over here as well. In general, also another thing, land it took from us while some of us are over here that traveled to Africa for a thousand years before the European even set foot over here. So that's another standpoint as well. Mm-hmm. But the reparation is just a reminder to us that things are owed to us and that things belong to us. And also, as a way, it's something to remind us that economically we are fucked in a lot of ways. So it's a reminder to us well. If we, and also the way so that we example to us that we will repair things. The reparations is not just the idea that we want money and land from the government or whatever. It's also the plan, the idea in our minds that we need to repair ourselves. We need to repair our minds, our bodies, our soul, you know, our psychological aspects, you know what I'm saying, our coping skills, we repair our family, we repair our community, we need to repair ourselves.
Absolutely.
The repairing process is a rebuilding process, and the rebuilding process is really process we're making change. Because, like, as you like the late G. Scott Harris said, revolution first started in the mind. Once we change our mind, once we change our mind, we can change the vision around us. Comrade George said, trying to come into the revolution mentality. And that's what we're trying to do because we're being criminalized through the aspect of human chattel slavery, which is the Atlantic slave trade, you know, that brought us over here.
Absolutely.
So reparation can fit in a lot of ways, you know what I'm saying, from a physical aspect, the aspect of building a mental institution within your own mindset. Your own mindset, even the aspect of want to create institution in your community, create school, community center, hospitals, stop patrolling your community, keeping your pigs out, developing products for people to use, for people consumption, developing resources,
right,
developing trade, all that reparations, because it repents who you are as an individual. Even the aspect of adopting a new African name, or changing your particular faith, or changing your particular religion, that's reparation, because you're preparing yourself for a different type of aspect of who you are. You change it, you know. So all that reparation within itself on different levels.
Absolutely. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much, comrades. Totally enjoyed the conversation, as usual. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
So,
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the queue?
No.
Okay. Well, I can ask another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
We can have another discussion. So, in your opinion, in your assessment, let's not do opinion, in your present assessment going into 2024,
okay,
is the time right? Are new Africans ready to be called for the plebiscite? Because, of course, the Malcolm X doctrine, which was developed a long time ago, so we must organize and hold a plebiscite. Is 2024 ripe for us to call a national plebiscite in your assessment and analysis? I yield.
Well, that's an interesting question due to the fact that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, that's a lot of work taking place, right? There's a lot of work taking place. And within the vision of government, it's our responsibility to learn about all the effort and work taking place, right? And utilize our ministries to establish unified principles with these particular things taking place, right? So the potential is there. The potential is there, right? It's going to take a lot of groundwork, a lot of footwork, right? And it's going to take a lot of relinquishing of particular ego and a lot of political education to do certain things. And also going to take the will that people want to change and to make things happen on a greater level, right? But the potential is definitely there, especially due to the fact that there's so much information out here. One of the greatest things that challenges us is the propagation that people receive on the Internet, right? The Internet propagation is a great tool that has been utilized to our demise. It's a great tool that the enemy uses to control and manipulate our condition of. And what they call it, social media. Okay? It's social engineering our minds to think, act a certain way, in particular, that's contrary to the mindset that we should have as people that want to make a change, that want to be social scientists. People that want to be solutionary have solutions to our people problems and needs on the concrete condition and the concrete reality we're facing right now. You know, but so the potential is there. It's the point of consolidating the efforts, the energies and the vibration, the thoughts and the people to get people in a certain locale, in a certain mind state, and follow a certain type of ideology and want to push a certain goal at that time frame to make things happen. So the potential is there. That's just from my own assessment, my own realization, and my own work that I've been conducting in my own relationship with different people and different entities, right? The potential is there. It's a point of doing something with it, you know, doing something with their potential.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought you made a very good point, because from the information that we've been gathering is that there are various groups, and they've been doing it a long time since, you know, the Declaration of the Negro Rights, from Garvey to all the other groups talking. And there have been people who've gone consistently to the nation, the United Nations, talking about reparations. But it is really radiating around the world. And it's important that the Republic of New Africa go ahead and begin to forward or to reintroduce its Reparations Act that has been circulating a very, very long time. Just need to clean it up and update it and to align itself, because it was specifically speaking about our political prisoners and, of course, what we want as far as New Africans here in this country. And yet we have to, you said it earlier, we are nationalist Pan-African freedom fighters. So, and we, in our Declaration of Independence, it says we align ourselves. If there is injustice anywhere, we align ourselves. We need to align ourselves with the worldwide reparations movement, because the same colonial masters and enslavers who have colonized Africa, who attacked Africa, who collaborated with certain entities in Africa, are the same people that have put us in these spaces around the Americas, Brazil, South America, North America, and they all owe us. And they owe us the 357 years, and as you said, since 1525. Every year. And we need to align ourselves as a worldwide reparations movement. And we deal with our colonial enslavers, and we deal with the enslavers that drop folks off everywhere else. And we speak with one voice. So you're very, very correct, needing to get over the egos and needing to unify on that point. So thank you, comrade. Thank you.
True indeed. In regards to all that, when we look at the new, the aims of the revolution, the Declaration of Independence, we look at the documentation, we look at the preamble, right? It talks about building a national New African Liberation Front, right? The New African Liberation Front is not only going to consist of the New African Independent Movement, but there are various other movements like the Black Liberation Movement and the Pan-African National Movement, right? Because when you look at that from a realistic scientifically, right, we're suffering the same condition. We're suffering poverty. We're suffering miseducation. We're suffering not having any kind of ownership. We're suffering the aspect of being police brutality, mass incarceration. We're suffering all these same conditions, right? In regards, we call ourselves Pan-African, New African, Black, whatever it may be, Hebrew, more, whatever, right? Once we start realizing certain things, that we had the same problems, we had the same enemy, we faced the same oppression, and once we establish a particular goal we need to achieve, that can happen. Through that united front, through that coalition, whatever you want to call it, it can happen. But we got to be serious about it, you know, and we got to realize. Mm-hmm. And we got to take it for ourselves. Like, okay, we know that we need to do this, so we need to set aside any difference we may have, any misunderstandings, any form of miseducation we may have about each other or whatever it may be, to establish government, to establish everything that we need, establish our independence. Because realistically, we look at things from the during the 60s, right? During the 60s.
Right.
Cointelegraph came a document. They're talking about the fear of the Black Messiah, right? Okay. In that aspect of things, like the Black Power movement that takes place in 1966, right? Okay. We go back to the 1800s, late 1950s with the Berlin Conference and all that shit, right? All Europeans came together.
Right.
You understand this song with Germany, I said song with Spanish, song with French, song with Portuguese, song with Polish. Some were British, you know what I'm saying, some were Irish, and so forth and so on. They understand that they kind of different national background, but they also understand that they all can be considered to be white. So they established a white power structure to plagiarize and terrorize Africa. They established that. So once you start calling yourself Black with the United States of America, that put a lot of fear in these minds as well. They're the Black Power Movement, they're the Black Panther, they're the Black Liberation Army. These are the Black Guard. These are the Black Legion. This, you know. This is the Black Power Movement. This is the Black Art Movement. This is the Black Extended Movement. This is the Black Culture Nationalism. then the Black Revolution, then Black Armed Struggle. Once you identify that, that was a unified force for us, right? So they had to destroy us for that, do that unification to make us think we were different. Or maybe think we were not the same people. Make us think we were the face of the same thing. So they started into a lot of concepts of domestic neocolonialism, which one of the terms being house niggas, or provocateurs, or traitors, or whatever, stupid, whatever you want to call them, right? Like, it's your dope concept. But I'm saying, I'll just say that we had certain, that was a term of unification for us, you know? Just one term. Once we identify certain terms of that can unify us, we can move forward and make things real and make things happen. That's the only way I brought that up, you know? Because it was simplified through the preamble, so to speak.
I totally agree with you, comrade, but then we've seen over time how the strategies and tactics of COINTELPRO, CIA, FBI, whatever you want to call them, they're all one in my mind, have chiseled away at the unification because there were compromises made. There were, you know, incarcerations for 20, 30, 40 years. That's the separation of our soldiers from the community. And then, you know, the founding documents have not continued to be studied and implemented. So we are very clear about what has happened. And, of course, we have had many, 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 many people who have put on that face, but have to destroy and to infiltrate and to become agent provocateurs. And we don't just say it by because of what they say, it's what they do, because we base all of our analysis, our objective analysis, on what you do, how you present yourself, what you do for your people and with your people. So you're very, very correct. I'm in total agreement. Thank you.
No doubt. No doubt. Thank you, sister.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, sisters. All right, Brother Bomani, do we have anybody else that would like to ask a question at this time?
Nah, we'll, nobody else.
All right. So at this time, if you would, Brother, go ahead and give us your final thoughts for the show tonight.
Well, my final thoughts are, you know, utilize the Guru Saba, the black principle, every day in your life and make a reality, right? And also be the best version of yourself, whatever it may be. You know, be the best version of yourself. Become the greatest individual. Become that new man, new woman that you want to be, that you know you can accomplish. Irregardless of what people say about you, regardless of what people, how people feel about you, regardless of what your conditions are and the circumstances are, strive for greatness. And with that, say, free the land, long as you have independence.
All right, we appreciate that, brother. Free the land, free the land. And for myself, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the PGRNA Radio Show. Be sure to catch us every third Monday of the month on Blog Talk Radio for another edition. Thank you all for tuning in to us tonight. And I just want to say thank you to the brother Bomani, the guest, and also Mama Ayo for calling in and giving us interesting dialogue. Thank you, everybody. And also, everyone be mindful, coming up in March, we're having our PGRNA Nation Day. Please feel free to look us up on any of our social media platforms or on our website at pg-rna.com for more information. Thank you all. Until the next time, free the land, free the land, free the land. By any and all means necessary.